You are about to hear unscripted accounts of what it's like to be a 911 dispatcher. Some conversation, okay, most conversation, will contain adult themes, and listener discretion is advised. The verbiage we share are our thoughts, views, and opinions, our reality every day we put on our headsets. We'll make you laugh, we'll make you cry, and I guarantee we'll make you say, wait, what?
Welcome to our minds. 911, what's the address of your emergency?
Hi, Stacey.
Hi, Becky. How are you?
Good.
Good. I'm glad. I like that we're back on a schedule where we have some days off together and we get to be in each other's world at work. It was a brutal 3 months when we weren't spending time together.
It was rough. I think we had like half of a shift together unless you were doing overtime or something.
Yeah, it just added to the nonsense of the whole pandemic and everything else.
Was not enjoyable. Now we're going to be 4 month rotations instead of three.
Yeah. So. I think that we'll probably be on, because you are never changing your schedule, no. Let's be honest. And I'm shooting to get that schedule because it's a sweet gig.
It's a pretty good shift.
Yeah. So hopefully I'm going to be right there with you. But guess what I did today?
Where did you go today?
I had to go renew my driver's license.
Oh.
And here's, first of all, when's the last time you went to renew your driver's license?
Honestly, it's probably been, oh gosh, it was like 2012, I think.
Okay, so you're going to be coming up.
Yeah, I think next year I have to do it.
Guess how much it costs now to renew a driver's license, just guess.
It was $37.
Wrong.
More?
Yes, higher.
What? It was like $23 when I renewed my license last
time. I was expecting to drop like a $20 bill. Right. And I don't know what it is like everywhere. It's probably more outrageous other places. $52.
What?
I paid to renew my driver's license.
Do you have like any endorsements or anything like
that? No. No.
Holy cow.
And I didn't get any points for being an organ donor.
Like, that's some robbery.
But here's the thing that amazed me about it. Because of the pandemic where we live, and hopefully it's this way everywhere now, you have to schedule an appointment to go in. And you have to choose, I'm just renewing, I have to take the driving test, I have to take the written test, whatever. So they schedule the appropriate amount of time. I was in and out of there in 10 minutes.
Holy cow.
Because all I had to do was renew. Why did it take a global pandemic for them to
streamline the process?
Streamline the system. Yes.
I did mine online. Last time.
That's a gift.
Did they let you do it still?
Well, it was at the time where it's time to get a new photograph.
Oh,
and
they just used my old one, so maybe.
Yeah, it's not like the state of Arizona, where I used to live. You keep your driver's license
for 75 years.
Forever.
Like,
so
that's your first one, and then you keep it till you die.
You're 82, and there's a picture of you when you're 25.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's not helpful.
I see how that could be. Not advantageous.
Right. No, that's not a good system either. But yeah, I enjoyed going to the driver's license division today, other than the $50.
I avoid the driver's license division and the DMV at all costs. Like, I don't.
I hope they have the same system. I hope they do.
I know they make you make an appointment at the DMV, but I don't know. I feel like nothing there is ever streamlined.
You know what I enjoy even more? Doctor's appointments over the phone or the FaceTime
thing.
Yes. Yes. I wish you could see the dentist like that. That'd be a huge win. But
FaceTime.
I don't know.
I can get lots of other things done by doing Zoom meetings.
Yes.
Like, I don't have to actually go in there.
Well, hopefully they keep that system, because if they go to where they're piling people in there 100 at a time waiting for 3 hours.
Honestly, this pandemic, the quarantine, all that, it did not change my life. Like, it inconvenienced me mildly because things close earlier, but yeah, I was not like big on the peopling before.
Right, so, exactly. Like, so it's helped us.
Occasionally when my husband would drag me to like a concert or something, or I mean, I was just more like, can we just get takeout? Do we have to go sit in there with all these people? I don't want to hear them eat. I don't want to hear their stories. Like, I don't, can we not?
When you work with people all day, it's kind of
I feel like.
And you don't like to answer the phone at home.
Oh, no. Nope. Yeah. I hate talking on the phone.
Yeah.
And I feel like too, in our profession, maybe this is just me, but we're trained to listen to every conversation in the room.
Yes.
So that we know, hey, I need to be out of my notes to this caller. Oh, this is going on this channel. This could be related to my mess.
Yes.
So just over the years, out of habit or whatever, when I'm out in a restaurant or a store or something, I can hear everybody around me. Like, I'm focused more on it instead of, I guess,
yeah.
Now I'm more hyper aware. I don't know, but I'm just like, no, didn't need to know that. Like,
yeah, no, you can't, and you can't turn it off. You want to. And no. That's what we're going to talk about today is, like, we've talked to you guys about being a dispatcher, but what's it really like to sit in our chair? What's it really like from the second we walk in the door and we start to hear in the room what we're going to be dealing with for the night for us? And just the general atmosphere, you can feel the second you walk in the door, the vibe of the room.
Oh, yeah.
And you know if you're sitting down to an immediate shit show.
Or if it's going to be a gradual, slow burn
for
the rest of the show.
Or if it's the calm before the storm. Because sometimes you actually do feel that. You feel it in the air.
Oh, yeah.
I don't know what 100%. It is. It's like something's coming.
You can even pull into the parking lot.
Yeah.
And by the amount of cop cars that are in the parking lot, and like if the fire units are not in the bay, like you just know,
yeah,
your heart sinks a little bit and you're like, shit,
busy.
And then you get upstairs and you're like, oh
yeah,
right.
And then when day shift, you know, hand you there,
yeah, when you're passing them in the hallway or something,
and they're like, and good luck
with that, and you're like, oh god, what now?
But yeah, so it truly is from the second you walk in the door, you start to adjust your mindset for how you're going to deal with the night. You sit down in your chair, whether you're picking up phones or working a radio channel, whatever you're doing. And it honestly is like you put on a new hat. You know, people will say, like, I'll joke on the day that I watch my granddaughter, got my Nana hat on today. Because we do kind of have different personas, per se, mm-hmm. for different things that we do. And I think it's the same for an officer, a firefighter, a doctor, anyone.
Yeah.
You know? And it probably is true for anyone, really.
Yeah, probably anybody in the profession.
But ours is absolutely nuts. Because, like you said, you aren't dealing with just what's on your channel.
Mm-hmm.
You're dealing with everything that's going on in the room.
And a lot of times with our jurisdictions, I know a lot of centers are different and some are more rural than others, but with our jurisdictions, usually it spills over. We have two major freeways that run through our area and it spills over.
Oh yeah.
Either
the sharing county, is caring.
Yeah. Either the neighboring county gives it to us because they're headed north, or our mess is headed south, or, you know, whatever. Yeah. It meets in the middle. Like, it's just...
So, as you know, I used to work for the county just south of us, mm-hmm. as well, and their setup is completely different from us. And I've tried to explain to people what it's like to work there as opposed to where we work, because even though we get frustrated sometimes, we honestly have a pretty righteous setup with the way our dispatch center is.
And I've heard that from other,
that, like, going to outside
trainings, or, you know, just friending people on social that are from different centers, things like that. They'll message you and be like, hey, do you guys have this? Do you have that? Do you have that? And it's like, oh man, you guys don't? We've had this for the last 8 years. Like, how do you function?
Yeah, we are honestly pretty blessed.
Oh yeah.
And so you probably know these numbers since you are in management, per se. What's our minimum amount of people we can have on the floor where we work?
It depends on the time of day.
Sure.
But, like, so our shift minimum is we need 8.
Okay, so
just to run the radio.
Minimum.
And the supervisor never counts. So technically we always have 9.
Okay, and maximum amount of people that we usually have there at a time?
Maybe in our heyday I've seen as many as 15, but that's on,
okay.
Like, summer afternoon, like, everybody's lost their minds and we're riding high, like, 15 is
okay. So even dealing with what we deal with, 8 to 15 people, we deal with a lot of crap.
Oh yeah.
And that's not a lot of people.
Mm-hmm.
But in the county that I worked at before, they have 3 to 5 people on at a time. And so, like, where we have different cities or jurisdictions broken down on the police radios. They dispatch for multiple agencies, not as many as us, but they're on one.
Yeah, I remember you saying
that. They're on one channel.
Yeah. And we have a friend who is an officer for the, you know, a state highway patrol from that is in that section. And she has even mentioned that the setup is not ideal when there's, because don't they have a service
channel? When it's really busy, yeah.
Just one main channel. And there's what, I mean, I know there's a couple municipalities in there that have their own dispatch center that are actually in the county still, but I mean, still you have what, 7-8 different agencies off that main channel?
I think it's 8 now. It was 9, now it's 8.
Yeah. 8 different agencies on that channel, all fighting for airtime, trying to run traffic, trying to whatever.
Right.
And then I know they have a service channel too, but let's be honest, when you're, you know, out on that scene, things like that, I know our officers even don't switch all the time. It's a safety issue.
So let's explain to people what all of that means. So if I am the, if I'm the police dispatcher, that means that I am talking to just the police officers on the other end of my radio. If I'm the fire dispatcher, I'm talking to just fire units on the other end of my radio. If I'm the service dispatcher, officers are asking me to run people, to run vehicles, to call them tow trucks, to call their luncheon. But no, it's, sometimes it seems like that. Like we are just, like they're just making up stuff for us to do. And then there's a call taking position. So you are answering the phones. You're just call after call after call after call. But where we work and down there, if you're the service dispatcher or the fire dispatcher, and sometimes even the police dispatcher, depending on how busy it is, if the phones are ringing, you answer the phone.
Yeah.
So a day sitting in the chair down there, this is the perfect day that I have used to describe to people and I'll use to describe to our listeners. So I'm on the service channel this day. The police dispatcher has to go potty. So the call taker takes the police radio because we're all cross-trained, right?
Yeah.
So now we don't have just a call taker. We have a service channel, a police dispatcher, and a fire dispatcher. I'm on the service channel running something for an officer. My phone rings, and in my other ear, because like you said, we hear everything going on in the room, I hear the fire dispatcher get a cardiac arrest.
So now they're not dispatching fire because they're doing CPR.
Because now she can't effectively handle her call taker and page the fire units.
Yeah.
So I tell my officer, stand by. I tell the person on the other end of the phone, I need you to hold on a minute. And I start paging the fire units to that medical. So it is a crazy amount of stuff that we deal with every day. So when we talk about the stress and the overload, this is where it comes from. Is it like that the entire shift? No. But it's that constant adrenaline dump. Like we've talked the up, the down, the up, the down. It's like we are dealing with insanity for 2 hours and then we're down for 30. And then we're, you know, it's...
Yeah.
It's just crazy.
It is up and down. It's like the other night, like last week. So it's been like a week and a half ago now. I was on fire. I was on the fire channel, which is also a call-taking position in our center. And, like, it was just madness. People were calling all day for, still kind of lingering for that mask episode. The one from the crazy person that was calling, the lady that got arrested or whatever.
Oh, yes.
So, like, we had a couple of stragglers that had just seen the social media posting and... Like, we're just kind of asking. They weren't, like, being crazy.
Okay, so it was posted on social media that some lady got arrested for wearing a mask, which
For not wearing a mask.
For not wearing... Which has, like...
It wasn't why she was arrested.
Nothing to do with it, but people went insane. Anywho.
Yeah. So there was someone calling about that. Like, they had seen the post, even though it was already days old. They just barely checked their feed or something. So, obviously, I dealt with that, and then I had a reckless driver, which those calls are my least favorite. And the guy, of course, was like, they're drunk, and honestly, probably 8 times out of 10, they're not drunk.
They're not drunk. They just don't know how to drive.
Tired, or they're shitty drivers, or whatever. Well, this guy exited. The only description he could provide was it was a dark-colored SUV, and the lady looked like she was tweaked out. Huh. Okay, well, thanks. So there happened to be a trooper by the entrance, because she got off the freeway and then got right back on. So there was a trooper by the entrance, and he snagged her, and she was, in fact, drunk. I was like, oh, wow, that never happened. Had kids in the car and the whole bit, like a real shitbag. And then, like, I took a couple other calls, and it was just, you know, it was my Friday, boring day. Like, I'm sitting there just crocheting, chit-chatting, no big deal. And then I get this call from this guy that is suicidal. And he was calm. Like, obviously, I didn't know what was happening until he started telling me. He called on 911, and it was one of our more rural areas. And he gave the address, repeated it fine. Like, our policy is that we ask for the address twice. Mm-hmm. And everything, you know, house, city, apartment, whatever. Verified it, gave me his phone number. Super calm, super collected. Like, I would never know there was a problem. I really thought it was going to be like a barking dog, or, you know, like, sure, my neighbors are playing loud music, or there's a weird car in my neighborhood. Just the usual. And then he tells me that he was going to kill himself. Mm. And this call ended up lasting for a total of 58 minutes. And the deputies got there probably about 20 minutes in. And they were, of course, talking to their dispatcher, who was messaging me. And I could see his notes that he was entering in the call, because he's documenting, obviously, what the deputies are telling him. And I'm still documenting what my caller's telling him. And I knew my caller was out front, in front of the home, but the deputy said that he had a weapon held to the temple of his head, had his finger on the trigger, so they couldn't even attempt to tase him, to disarm him. I know that sounds terrible, but you'll survive a taser shock versus a shot to the head.
Right.
So, you know, and not to mention the potential of what happens if he misses and that bullet goes somewhere else, or it doesn't stop, or, you know, there is a neighborhood. So
those calls are so hard.
Yeah. So they weren't able to do anything. So they basically just took cover and watched, and were just waiting to have to clean up the aftermath. So at about 55 minutes in, I convinced him to put the gun down on the trunk of the car in the driveway, walk out to the middle of the road, and get down on his belly, where they were able to take him into custody. I told him, he kept the phone up to his ear the whole time, and I told him, you know, this is going to suck. This is going to be cold. He's like, they're going to arrest me. They're going to do it. I said, they're going to put you in cuffs. It's just their protocol. They have to search you for other weapons, things like that. They have to make sure you're safe and that they're safe. And, I mean, thankfully he didn't do it. And, I mean, I've been there for 13 years, and honestly, like, I had no idea how it affected me until I went on break 20 minutes later. I sat in my car and cried. My neck, my shoulders, like, everything was so tense. Like, you just don't realize, like, just that prolonged almost an hour of just sitting there, like, I 100% thought he was going to do it. 100%.
Yeah, because you're sitting there being basically a junior therapist,
yeah,
trying to help this person,
mm-hmm,
or you're going to hear the gun go
off. Exactly. And everybody in the room was just, okay, like, you know, the service dispatcher was handling that main police channel because they had cleared the channel. There's other jurisdictions that work
because there's a weapon involved. Yeah. Yeah.
So they cleared it. That police dispatcher's asking me questions, and, you know, the service dispatcher's asking that dispatcher something, and it just, I mean, it runs like a well-oiled machine when we have a call like that.
Thankfully, mm-hmm,
everybody just falls into sync, even though we're on completely different sides of the room. Our center is pretty good size, so we are a little bit more spread out than,
right,
most, but it's still, everybody kind of kept the noise level down, you know, just inadvertently, yeah, just because the nature of the call, you don't want them hearing somebody giggling in the background, because how's that going to make,
sure,
that person feel, you know? Everybody kept the noise down. Everybody was, you know, like, medical was on standby, things like that. So, I mean, it was spread over 3 different channels and 4 different people that was tying up for this one incident. And it just, the whole mood of the room, you know, until, like, I was off that call and he was safe and everything. And then afterwards, everybody, literally 27 seconds later, was just back to how it normally is, but
like, because it's weird, it's just what we deal with. Is. You know, but
it's automatic. It's not a conscious thing, I don't think, either for us.
No, it's not.
You just do it.
But for that time period, everybody is just heightened, like, especially you, because you have that caller on the other end of the phone. I don't know how to, there's no way you can get someone to understand what that's like.
There's not, unless you're sitting in that seat and you're listening to that in your ear and you're literally, I know this might sound dramatic, but you're literally responsible for someone's life at that point. Mm-hmm. What if I said something shitty and it upset him and he was like, oh, what was that? And just, you know what I mean?
Right.
I don't know. It's a very odd, we do an odd job. We really do.
We do. And, you know, we did a whole thing about suicidal calls and stuff, and they are some of the hardest calls. The other night I had this, I thought it was a guy. It ended up being just a 13-year-old kid. He just had this really deep, almost kind of scary voice.
I think I remember you telling me about this one.
And I'm asking him, what, you know, okay, so what's going on tonight? I really feel like I want to harm someone.
Oh, yeah.
And I'm like, what am I supposed to do with that? Yeah. You know? And I'm just like, oh my gosh, what if he had been in a fight with his mom? And I'm like, okay, so do you feel like you're going to harm your mom? I don't know who. I just feel like I want to hurt somebody really bad. And I'm just like, okay,
well, what do I do?
Just like on that suicidal call, I'm thinking, okay, well, I'm sending officers to this. On mine, there wasn't a weapon involved. On yours, you know there's a weapon involved. Yeah. But your mind is in two places because you're thinking, I have to try to help protect this person on the phone, and I've got to make sure that the responders are safe as well. And you take on some responsibility for that just in the words that are coming out of your mouth.
100%. You have to be very conscious of what you're saying. And I know that, like, we train people like this, and we're trained that if someone's going to do it, they're going to do it. Not asking them if they have a plan isn't going to force them to do it. But I don't know. Like, I feel not always, you know. If you start asking them certain questions and start them further down that path of thought, I didn't consider this possibility, or is it going to sway them one way or another? I don't want to find out if what I said makes them kill themselves. Like,
And the worst thing for me, and I think for the responders, is when he decides I can't do it, and so he takes that weapon and points it at them, and then
makes them
have to do it. And
it does, and it doesn't just ruin one life that night. Now that responder, even though they were doing exactly what they had to make sure everyone else in the neighborhood on scene, their families, whatever, are safe, they still have to bear that burden of ultimately they took a life.
Yeah.
No matter in what context. And it's I had a couple sergeants message me and say, thank you. We really thought he was going to do it. Thank you for talking him down so I didn't have to witness him do it. Even though they weren't the ones that were going to have to ultimately end his life, watching someone do that too has to be, you know.
Oh, yeah. I can't, like we've said before, I can't imagine the things they see. I know the things they hear.
Yeah.
I can't imagine the things they see.
Absolutely. It's been a wild week at work.
It's the end of my weekend. I'm back there tomorrow. So we'll see what tomorrow has in store for me.
I think we at least have tomorrow off. But I think the time of year, too. Like, everybody's just got cabin fever.
Yeah.
It's been cold. It's been, you know, winter. Right when spring starts to crop up, people get...
Well, everyone's still waiting for last year to end.
Yeah, that too.
And it's just been not a continuation. Going to. Yeah. But I found a thing years ago on YouTube, and it's called Point of View of a Dispatcher. So if you just want to search that on YouTube. And I watched it again the other day, and some guy, I have no idea who he is, put it together. But it kind of shows, just like what we've talked about. He doesn't deal with the suicide or anything, but it talks about him dealing with the mundane thing and talking to people on the phone and answering questions in the room and talking on the radio. And it kind of shows what it's like to be us and the 15 things we're doing at once sometime. Yeah. And there's a part in there, and it just makes me laugh because some officer called, and I laughed out loud literally when I was watching this. Some officer calls in and says, hey, are you busy? And he goes, oh, there's always a little something going on.
There's always a little something going on.
It's like, there's not a lot of times where there's just, like, zip going, you know? Maybe in the middle of a snowstorm where people have actually decided to go inside, but that doesn't even happen. We usually have people sliding all over the road and crazy when we sit there wondering why they're not home, but it's a... I don't know. It's, check that out, peeps, and that'll maybe give you a little bit of a visual of what we try to
put
in your head. Yeah, you'll have to. It's, I was doing a presentation or preparing for one, and I saw that, and I'm like, wow, this is maybe the best put-together thing I've ever seen that shows that. But anyway, that's us.
I'll have to check that out for sure.
We both had some interesting experiences recently, though, with the other end of the radio and officers.
Yeah.
Yeah. You tell yours and then I'll tell mine.
So I had this officer for one of our bigger agencies that we dispatch for. So on our system, I'm sure on everybody's system, they have the ability to send messages so it's not over the air.
Sorry, my ice is clinking.
So this officer sends me a message and there's not really anything going on. Like, it's pretty, you know, regular mundane evening shift. And he sends me a message and says, what if you dispatch me to my death one day? What if you send me to the call that ends my life?
Wow.
I was just like, wait, sorry, what? What? I was like, why would you ask me that? And he said, well, I mean, I'm just curious. It wouldn't be your fault. You can't control what people on scene do. And I never thought about that, honestly. But that was all I could think about for the rest of my shift. Like, what do you, it was just so, I don't know. Like, I know that's a conscious thought in the, like, not really conscious, but it's always in the back of your mind. Like, what if this goes south?
Yes, we think about that all the time.
Like, oh my God, what if this goes south? But it's not something really that's, like, in the forefront of your mind, at least not mine, because that adrenaline kicks in and you're doing 17 different things. And so it's back there somewhere, a little voice, but it's not like, oh my God, oh my God, oh my God. I don't know. I've never thought about it consciously, I guess, like that.
Right.
It just really caught me.
And you were forced to.
I was like, what in the actual hell? Why?
It's interesting that he had that thought.
Yeah, I was like, what are you doing? Like, you're in an area where there's not really that area of that jurisdiction. There wasn't, like, really a bunch of crime. Like, it's super quiet. It's, like, the more affluent area of the agency, that one. And then right afterwards, of course, literally 3 minutes after he asked me that, I have to dispatch him on a weapons disturbance. And I'm like, are you shitting me? And he sent me a message and he's like, maybe today's the day. And I was like,
you're like, stop.
I was like, stop now. aren't you leaving soon? Like, can you go home?
You have to wonder what was going on in his mind.
I know,
though,
that's why I was
that he
like,
was,
what?
Yeah, maybe he was feeling kind of edgy.
What brought this up? And I didn't even think to ask. Maybe I should, but I don't want to bring it back up. Like, that just really caught me off guard. I was just like, you having a midlife crisis? What are you doing?
Well, okay, in the very night before that officer sent you that message, I was on that same, I was dispatching those same police channels, and it's busy. There's a lot of crap going on, and I get an unknown trouble call. So basically there's something going on, but nobody's talking to us. We have no idea what's going on. And I don't have any officers available to send. And so the sergeant answers up and says he will go. This was this sergeant's last night on duty. He's retiring. We're saying goodbye to him this night. And I had that thought. Please know, don't go to this call on your last night and not make it home.
Yeah.
Because that has happened on people's last day of work. And it is the most unsettling feeling. So I was very happy that before he got there, somebody else, he got there and he was alone for a minute, but then somebody else became available and responded with him. But man, it is just crazy dealing with all of those emotions and
And until recently, like, I don't know, I don't think I've ever been super aware of it.
Yeah.
Like, it's just what we do. It's what, there was never, I don't know, a name to it. Like, it just, it's what it is. It's what we do. I don't know if it's because I'm getting older now, and I'm just like, man, this just wears me out. Like, this just...
I don't know. I mean, I believe two officers have been killed in the line of duty since you've worked where we work. Mm-hmm. And I'm sure that has changed, like, that, actually having to deal with that on a personal level.
Honestly, yeah. The last one last year was really, it was hard. It was a lot harder than the first time. It was just, I don't know if it was because it happened in a different climate, I don't know. It was just, it was hard. And the officer that messaged me and asked me that actually was the officer that was killed. It was his training officer that asked me this.
That's not even cool.
It's been heavy on his mind. Like, he did honor guard for him. He was part of the 21 gun salute, like, at his funeral. So I know he's been struggling with it. It's been heavy on his mind since all that happened. But so I don't know if it's just.
Well, I'm sure. I can't imagine. It's hard on us.
Oh, yeah.
Them, I mean, they're physically putting themselves in that same situation.
And he knew him, obviously, on a personal level. I dispatched him while he was in training because then he was on the day shift. So that was the only interaction I ever had, was just over the air sending him to calls, you know? But I don't... And I don't know. I think it kind of makes a difference, too, when you know the officer personally. I don't want to say that I care more about someone that I know's safety versus someone I don't, because that's not true at all.
Right.
It just, you know their family, you know them, you know what kind of, I mean, you know the repercussion it would have if, God forbid, the unthinkable happened, but you really know because you've been in their home, you've spent time with them and their families, you know, it's just different.
Well, no, and it is different, and that's a different part of sitting in our chair, too, because it's not just police officers. We feel the same way about a firefighter killed in the line of duty, a firefighter yelling Mayday, an officer yelling, I need help right now. It's just different if you know that person, because there is a very personal connection. It's why I came to work at the agency we're at now, because my spouse worked and still works at in the other county. And I don't know how people do that dispatch their spouses or significant others every day. Man, I don't know.
Not even just that, but like, if you're not on that channel that your spouse runs off of, you have someone that maybe really has no business being there.
Yeah.
And you're just like, oh my God, like, what are you doing?
Yeah, you're in charge of
my... You're in charge of,
person's life.
You know, this is not okay.
And I can see that you don't know where they are right now. Yeah, see, and that would be hard. So, it's just like I made the mistake once of living in the city I dispatched for. I'll never do that again. Like, like I talked about, because I know what's going on intimately in my neighborhood, and I don't want to know.
That's why I don't live in the county that we dispatch for, because of that. I mean, even like, I live in the area that you used to dispatch for.
Right.
So, and I have friends that are officers, you know, for that area that can find out. So I'm like, sometimes I'm like, can you, no, wait, don't tell me.
I don't want to know what's going on.
Don't tell me.
Yeah. It's a, we've said it a million times. We'll say it probably a million more. It's a crazy job.
It is.
It's just crazy.
It's 100%, and I don't know. But I feel like maybe it's kind of desensitized me to things, too, outside of work.
Oh, a lot.
Like on Valentine's Day, I had someone break into my house.
Oh, my gosh.
And I just walked out to my living room when they were sitting on my couch, and I'm like, hi.
Okay. This is Becky's, you can't make this shit up. up close and personal.
I'll save it then for...
No, go. Oh. Run with it.
So what happened was, I was still awake, so Valentine's was on a Sunday. Sunday is my Monday, so I stay up a little bit later Saturday night so that I can sleep a little bit later Sunday, so I'm, you know, in night shift mode.
Right.
So I hear something, like a really, like I'm in my room watching some Netflix, you know, everyone else is asleep because it's literally 3 a.m. And I'm watching that damn Hotel Cecil thing on the Netflix, so it's kind of creepy anyways. And then I hear like a really soft knocking and I'm like, what the hell's happening? I'm like, I'm just crazy.
You're like, who's out there punking me?
It's the Night Stalker. I'm like, what's going on? You know, like, so I think I'm just crazy. Like, I'm just hearing things, whatever. And then my dog, I have a little Pomeranian. Well, he's not little. He's a Pomeranian. And he's out in the living room just going ape shit. So I'm like, oh my God, he's going to wake up the whole house. It wasn't even like, oh shit, someone's really in
here. Yeah, right.
It was, he's going to wake up the whole house. Yeah. My kid's going to be awake. Like,
and then what am I going to do?
So I go out to the living room and there is this lady sitting on my couch. And I'm like, hi, hello.
And she really, which amazes me when she told me this story, because I'm like, how did she just not have a bullet in her head? Because we all know Becky. Like,
well, it's not like weaponry. I just have it, you know, like right on me all the time. But yeah, no. And honestly, like, if, and that's the thing, like, I'm just so desensitized to, like, man, it's a day in the life. Like,
yeah, so you just go into dispatcher mode.
I'm just, I'm
hey,
like,
can I help you? I'm not like, what the hell are you doing in my house?
I'm gonna go handle this shit. Like, so, and she seems really distraught, like, really, you know, upset. So I'm like, are you okay? Like, I'm asking her, like,
yeah.
Like, do you need something? Like, are you all right?
Hey,
How can I help you?
You're being the dispatcher.
Right? I'm like, are you... And she was like taking her shoes off. She's like, my feet are so cold. Like, bitch was legit gonna like snuggle up and take a nap on my couch. And I'm just like, excuse me?
I wish I could have been
there. And she's like, can I use your phone? I need to call my boyfriend. I'm like, sure. So like, I get the phone and then I go wake my husband up and I'm like, hey, this is what's happening. Can you please sit out there? And he's like, wait, what the fuck? And I'm like, just throw on some clothes and go out there, please. Like, I'm going to call dispatch. And I call in and they're like, describe her to me. Oh, yeah, we've been looking for her. Like, she escaped custody in this city, like, you know, a couple cities down south from me. And, oh, yeah, she escaped custody. And then we had an officer in your area looking for her and this and that. And it was just like this crazy set of circumstances. So there was an officer at my front door in like 4 minutes. Well, we have a big picture window behind her couch. She sees him pulling up through the blinds. And she's like, is that the cops? And I'm like, yep, it's time to go. So she like throws my phone, runs to the back of my house down the hallway, like does a lap, and then comes back out and dives under my dining room table. And my husband's like, where'd she go? And I'm looking, I'm like, if that bitch is in my kid's room, like, I'm no longer going to be polite. And then I'm looking, I'm like, she's under the table. So the officer literally just, like, hauls her out front of the table and, like, cuffs her. And I took a picture on the down low because, I mean...
Yeah, it's your house.
You have to. Like, you can't make this shit up. Like, I had to have photographic evidence. And she's like, what are the charges? Just hooting and hollering. Mind you, my kid did not wake up during all of this. I was so like...
Which is a blessing.
Right? So she's hooting and hollering and the officer just looked at her like, for starters, you're in someone's house at 3 a.m. and you don't know him. And she was very obviously like mentally ill or high or both, but she's like, you let me in. And I couldn't even help it. I'm like, the fuck I did. And he, like, hauls her out the front door, puts her in the cop car, and she's, like, banging on the window with her cuffs, and he's just like, oh, this is going to be a fun trip to jail. And I'm like...
Okay, my favorite part of the story, though, that Becky forgot. First of all, she gives the girl her phone. How expensive is that phone? What
were you? The house phone. It was a landline.
Okay.
I'm the last person on the face of this earth that has a landline.
And oh, then, I have one.
Oh,
because we're dispatchers.
Oh, yeah, right? Because I know what happens. Cell phones are unreliable, and if you have to call and you can't tell anyone your address because, God forbid, something's happening, guess what? They got it. It's worth that whatever fee a month it is. I don't even know.
Okay, really quickly, for all of you who don't understand how all of that works, when your Wi-Fi goes down and you have a voiceover IP line, your phone goes down, you ain't calling nobody.
Yeah,
nobody. When the cell towers go down, you ain't getting a hold of nobody.
Yeah.
Landlines have value.
Yeah, and when you call from a landline, it gives us your address automatically. Yeah. Nothing else does that.
They're still a beautiful thing.
Yeah.
But, okay, the story.
Yeah.
So the girl has the phone, and so Becky hears her talking to someone while she goes to wake her spouse up. And so the officer's like, hey, can I get that, the number, whatever, you know, whatever number she called? There was nothing. There was,
she's yelling at herself.
She's been there talking to herself.
Having this whole ass conversation back and forth with herself. And the best part, like the best part, the kicker of all this. So this is like 3 a.m. on Sunday morning. So Saturday afternoon, my son is having like some sort of like mild spaz attack. And he's like, someone's going to break into our house. Like, we got to like, and okay. So she didn't really break in as a bit dramatic. I might have left the door unlocked, but potato, potato. It's my house. Nobody come in. It's 3 a.m. They know what kind of people live there. No one is trying to come in and start any type of shit. She clearly was not from the area. She did not get the memo.
Lock your door, Becky.
Well, it is now. But so my son was having himself like a little come apart. Like, oh my God, somebody's going to break into our house. Like, I'm just like, he had this really irrational fear of it. And I'm like, bud, nobody's ever broken in. We live in a really safe neighborhood. Like, nobody, you know, it's not like we're in Compton. Like, what are you, like, what are you talking about? Like, we live in a safe county, like a safe area. Like, it's not, that doesn't happen. It's fine. Just calm down. Like, quit worrying about dumb shit. And literally 12 hours later, and I looked at my husband after the cop left, and I'm like, we are the worst parents ever.
Luckily, he doesn't know.
We told our son that this would never happen.
Maybe you should get him a crystal ball and set up a booth.
I was like, can we start pumping him for like the lottery numbers or something?
Exactly, like, right?
What in the actual hell?
He felt it. He felt the calm before the storm.
I don't even know.
Maybe he's going to be a dispatcher someday.
I hope not.
I hope. And you know what's funny? There's not a cop in the world who wants their kid to be a cop. There's not a dispatcher that wants their kid to be a dispatcher. But guess what? It just...
It happens.
It's like a sickness that just keeps on giving.
Yeah, no, he always tells his teachers that my mom sleeps really late in the day and she answers phones all night. So I don't know what they think of like some kind of sex worker. Like, what do they think I do? Like, mommy just sleeps all day and talks on the phone all night. Like, I can't even imagine what his teachers think I do.
And they've never asked.
No. Wow. They've never asked. Bless their hearts. Like, I don't know.
That is they're hysterical. They're probably like,
we don't want to know. You come to school and you're clean and you're mildly well-behaved and that's all that matters.
What was that? Do you remember years ago there was a picture going around that some little kid drew of his mom with a pole? Like, I don't remember.
Like a fire pole or something?
Yeah, but it looked like a, totally looked like a stripper pole. And the teacher had questions.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean...
That was hysterical, too.
I have no idea what they think I do. And they had my husband listed as the baby daddy. Like, he was just financially responsible. I don't know how, like, they got, like, they sent the registration form, like, check this if everything's okay and you don't want to change anything to, you know, enroll your student for the next school year, early registration. I'm looking at it. I'm like, how many times do I have to tell you people? We're married. He's the father of my child. We live in the same house. Call him and bother him. Like, it's not... Stop waking me up
fix
in the middle of the day.
Your records.
Yeah, and my child is dedicated to his craft. He will fling himself down in a puddle because he knows that he can't sit in class in wet clothes, and I have to bring him new clothes. So he thinks that he'll get to go home from school early. So he does this at least...
He's trying to work it.
Let's give him
credit for that.
Yeah, 100%. I'm like, ooh. Dedicated, you little. So last time he pulled this shit, like 3 weeks ago, Grandma, like I didn't answer. My phone was on silent. I didn't hear it. I was just passed out cold because it was a rough night at work and I was asleep. And instead of calling my husband, they called my mom, who's the first emergency contact list on there. She's retired. She's home. So Grandma comes busted in the house and like, I didn't wake up to that either. She has a key. The door was locked this time. But Grandma came in, and then she has to come and wake me up, and she's like, where's the clothes? Where's this? I'm like, oh my God, what are you doing?
He did it again.
What? bed, all of you.
Everybody let me sleep.
Seriously, just let me sleep.
Did you hear the wee hooligans?
Yeah, I heard them a little bit.
Yeah. We're recording at my house again today, so
yeah, the wee hooligans locale, so.
Have been running around, little turds that they are. But hey, I have a public service announcement, because you bring it up, the school records not being right. If you are paying an alarm company, especially a medical alarm company,
oh Lord,
please call them. Make sure they have the correct city that you live in. Make sure they have some information about the patient, if it's a medical alarm.
Maybe your name. Like, yeah. That would be a good place to start.
Anything that might help them help us.
Make sure they don't have your address listed as a post office.
Yeah. Oh, okay. Because, okay.
That alarm nonstop.
It is crazy. But here's another thing about voice over IP phones that maybe people don't understand. Like when we talked about if you're calling on your cell phone and you're in the state of New Jersey, you're going to get a dispatcher in the state of New Jersey. If you have a voice over IP line that you've been carrying with you and that phone is registered in Colorado, but now you live in Ohio, guess what? It comes up on the screen that you live in Colorado because that's where your phone is registered.
Yep. I have last year, actually.
Get that crap straightened out.
Seriously, your life could literally depend on it.
Yeah, even if it takes less than 5 minutes to get it figured out, if you're in a serious medical problem or there's someone in your house, that's a very valuable 5 minutes.
Yep. Yeah.
It's a little thing we like to call personal responsibility. Make sure those kind of accounts have accurate information.
Yes.
So we're like the driver's license division. We like accurate information.
The driver's license.
Oh, yeah, I'll be traumatized. Well, no, it wasn't bad. I'm not gonna lie, I'm not traumatized this time.
I hope my experience is as pleasant when I have to go in and renew mine.
I hope that everyone's is. I know. Because I didn't hate it. It didn't ruin my whole day.
I know, when you told me that that's what you had to do, I was like, oh man, nope, not it, no thanks.
Everybody gets their turn. All right, well, that's it for today. Trying to explain a little bit more about what we do. We don't know why we do it.
But
it's what we do.
I don't know.
And we're going to keep on doing it.
Yeah.
I do believe, and I said this last week to someone, because it was a bad day. I think dispatch has to be the most love-hate relationship anyone could possibly have in their life.
Absolutely. 100%. It really is.
All right. Well, guys, until next time, take care of each other.